If I should use a text tonight, I'd like to turn to the third chapter of Galatians, the 13th verse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The next verse, 14th verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, through faith. I don't know whether you got the depth of what I said, but that 14th verse says, that the blessing of God, that's not beginning a thought, that is a continuation of what the verse said right above it. You cannot make any sense out of the 14th verse and divorce the 13th verse, take it out of its place. You have got to have a verse above it to be able to read and make any sense out of the 14th. Why? Because what he said in the 13th has everything to do with what he said in the 14th verse. He said that Christ redeemed us from a curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He received the full blow of all the curse and placed it on himself. The 14th verse, that the blessings of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the cross and suffered and died and paid a tremendous cost. Paul said, the reason why he went to the cross and became a curse and died on the cross to deliver us from a curse, it was that a blessing might come on us, the Gentiles. Now, there was a time when Gentiles couldn't have the blessing of God. Salvation is of the Jew, and the Gentiles were referred to as dogs, as heathen, and they were alienated. The Bible in Ephesians says that we were alienated from God. We were without God and without hope in the world. But God in his mercy, wherewith he loved us, he opened up the way, broke down the middle wall of partition, sent Christ here to stretch out his arms and be able to say, whosoever will, let him come. And now the Gentiles can come in and enjoy the blessing of God the same as the Jews. Now, don't you think that it's very, very bad business to be able to have access to such a blessing and be a Gentile, knowing that one time there's nothing you could do to have it, but now God promises you a special blessing to come upon you and for you to be in this world and to overlook it, neglect it, just be a church joiner, but never reach the place to where the blessing of God comes on you. Now, this is not talking to a lot of church members that belong to dead denominational churches that never really pray through and get a born-again experience. Some get in the church, they'll get enough stirred to be baptized in water, maybe shake hands with the preacher. And there's a lot of Pentecostal people and the Four Square Assemblies of God, Church of God, and the Full Gospel people that'll get in a church and get a blessing, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and shout for a while, but when the feeling leaves, they go through a test, they figure they're kind of backslid, they'll get money, plenty of money in their pocket, and they'll begin to kind of let out of church, fail to go like they ought to, and neglect their prayer life, neglect reading, and the first thing you know, they get cold, lukewarm, and indifferent, and they drift back from God. Having to believe that is possible. Now, I know a lot of people, right this minute, if God would come here and go by and put a little label on everybody that is living right exactly where you should be to enjoy all the blessings of God, it might surprise you. How many is now, well, maybe it wouldn't surprise us now after that service this morning. We ought to all be ready to be tagged. But usually in services, there are people that would come under the head of being lukewarm. How many believe it's possible to be lukewarm? I can find in the Bible where they were Holy Ghost-filled people, saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they were a church back there in the days of Paul, the days of Peter. And that was the Laodicean church. He says, you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot. You used to be hot, but you cooled off, and now you're lukewarm. And it used to be you were hungry, and you were thriving and reaching out after the things of God, but you have lost that. And now you say that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You say, was that an Episcopalian church, Lutheran? You say it is Assembly of God. I didn't say it is Pentecost. I didn't say it is Assembly of God. I said it was the earlier church back in the days of the apostles that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were under the ministry of the early apostles and had all the gifts in operation. And Jesus charged the church of being lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And he said, you say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, how many believe if that happened right back there under the nose of the apostles, it is possible for people today to become lukewarm? Now, the blessing that I'm talking about is not upon your life. You're not enjoying the blessing of God if you are in a lukewarm condition. You say, well, how do you know when you're not in a lukewarm condition? When you're hot. When you're hot. That's the only way God wants us, is not lukewarm. Then I could mention that there was another one right there in that next to the same chapter that I just read you there, or I quoted, is where Christ was talking. He talked to another one that had once had their first love, but they had lost, or not lost, they had left their first love. Now that was in the early church. That was under the ministry of, fact of business is, the Apostle John pastored that same church, Ephesus, for a great number of years. He had just left the church and been exiled on the Isle of Patmos. But he was the pastor, as Brother Hibbert is the pastor of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. I've been for a number of years. Something would happen, they'd get me and carry me out here and exile me on some island. And then later, the Lord would send a message back to this church and tell this church what condition it's in. That's exactly the picture you have here. The church in Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus, was the church that John the Beloved pastored for a number of years. Now he gave it the right teaching. They all received the Holy Spirit. They believed in love of God. They believed in the power of God. They believed in divine healing. They believed in the gifts of the Spirit. They were a Pentecostal people thriving under the very ministry of John, Peter, James, Christ himself. All these things had just happened. But they reached a place, they become lukewarm, and the Lord saw this dangerous condition that they were not dwelling where God could let his blessing rest upon them. They were not at a place they could cash in on the blessing. Why? Because they had drifted from the place that they had to be to enjoy the blessing. Now, what I'm saying is this, the blessing of God is a wonderful thing. And if we know the value of it, we need to stay in the place that we can enjoy it. So what happened to this church? Jesus saw it. He wrote him a letter and said, John, I want you to dictate this letter and send it to the church of Ephesus and say to him that I know thy works, labor, patience, and how you can't even stand that which is evil. And for my name's sake, you've labored and not fainted, and you've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and found them liars. Now, there's a lot of good things about you. I've seen all that. But I have somewhat against thee. Now, he said, this somewhat I have against you has affected me so that if you don't do what I tell you and repent and go back and pick up your first love and remember your first works and do your first works. He said, I am going to come to the church and I'm going to move the candlestick out of H-I-S. That's a personal pronoun. I'm going to move the candlestick out of his place except you repent. You've got to get down. You've got to pray. You've got to cry out. Now, who's going to pray and get down and reach a place that they'll get their first love back? People that he said, I know your works, and I know your labor, and I know your patience, and I know how that thou hast not fainted. You have prayed. You have still a prayer life. You still pray. And I know that you can't stand evil. And you have tried them which say they're apostles, not found them liars. He said, in spite of all that, the what I have against you is you've left your first love. Now, you say, well, now, that's what Jesus said, yes. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes his mind. And I'm persuaded to believe today that if they lost their first, not lost it, they didn't lose it, they left it. Now, he didn't say you've lost anything. When you lose something, you don't know where you lost it. It's an accident. But when you leave something, I can go off from the church here and get home and say, oh, my hat. What's the matter? I left it at church. I didn't lose it. I know I had it when I came in and left my hat. Or maybe I left my Bible. I've said a lot of times I left my Bible. Oh, did you lose it? No, I didn't lose it. Left it at church. So it's here. I know where it's at, but I've left it. I don't have it. Now, he said, you haven't lost nothing. You have left something. I believe that in our busy day that we're living in today, if we don't watch ourselves, I don't care what your past experience have been, you're prone, if you don't watch and stay close to God, you'll forget and you'll leave something that's very precious. And that's your first love. Do you reckon that leaving your first love will affect you and you'll not be able to enjoy the blessings of God upon your life like you should? You know what God said to his own people Israel? He said, I blessed you. I gave my commandment before you, and here's what he said. I just read it a few minutes ago. It's found in Deuteronomy 11:26. God talking to Israel. He said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And he said, I've chose you out of the world as a separate world, and I've introduced myself as a God through Israel. I call myself the God of Israel. Now, he said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you serve me and if you obey me. If you do what I tell you. You know, if we belong to God, he has the first mortgage on our property, our body and our soul and our spirit's God. And he said, don't anybody ever say, I'm going to town tomorrow. Say, if the Lord will, I'll go to town. But a lot of times we take things in hand, brother, and we don't check with God too much until Sunday morning and we come to church. But outside of that, we're a boss of our own. I'm going to tell you, when we get up of a morning, brother, it said God sees our uprising and our downsitting, our going in and our coming out. He ponders all of our doing. We are the apple of his eye. He's concerned about us, and he wants us to be concerned about him. Now, he is not going to let his blessings come upon people that are walking a distant, lukewarm, lost your first love. We cannot enjoy the blessing of all of the divine blessings. Why? The devil will come along and say, hey, how come you're letting your blessings rest upon that person? Do you believe that the devil knows who is abiding under the blessing of God? You know, the devil knows exactly how much of the blessing of God you have. You know what God said? God said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things can happen to people if we get out from under the blood. And that word out from under the blood is out of Christ. Out of Christ. Now, what happens when he moves the candlestick out of its place? Well, it's a sad fix. That church had a threat. He said, I have borne with you, and if you don't repent and do your first works. Now, what was some of our first works? When we got saved, we loved everybody. Everybody say amen. Amen. What else? When you first got saved, you wanted to tell everyone you met about the Jesus you have and the wonderful thing about it. You know, we get to the place that we never witnessed to nobody. We don't witness to nobody. And another thing, when we have our first love, there is something about it that we love to give. We are automatically givers. We love to go to the house of God. We love to read the Bible. And we take time to pray. Those are things that we love to do. But if you don't watch yourself, we get so busy about the King, we forget the King's business. But we're speaking here about not just being a church member, but being in the place to enjoy all of his blessings. Let me read to you, I've convinced you already, that he says that he died on the cross that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. The blessing of Abraham. Now, I'm talking about walking out that door tonight with the blessing of God on your life. And there's a lot of people walk out that door and the blessing of God not be on their life. There's a lot of difference in the man that goes out with the blessing of God on his life. God's no respecter of person. Everybody that has the blessing of God on their life, they are responsible for having it on there. And if we have once known God and it is not upon our life, we are responsible for it not being there. As I said a few moments ago, and I'll repeat briefly, he said before Israel, I set before you a blessing and a curse. Now the curse is going to come to you just like I'd curse any other nation. Only thing is this, when I curse you, it's going to be worse than I ever do when I curse the heathen. He said, because when my blessings come on you, I'm going to put you in the very front, and there's nobody will ever come near you. You'll be the head and not the tail. The other nations will be the tail. And you will go to battle, and no man will ever be able to stand before you because you'll whip them. And the difference is the blessing. Am I right? Now, when Israel served God, they went forth to battle, and God always fought their battles. He had a number of ways of doing it. Sometime it could be just a little tiny handful, and there could be hundreds of thousands of others, but they would overwhelmingly whip the enemy. One time Samson slew 1,000. Now the blessing of God was on Samson. No one can say it wasn't. It was. And one man slew 1,000, and they were all dead, and he is still plenty alive. Why? Because the blessing of God is upon him. Now, Israel went out against Ai after coming in and conquering several nations at one time, and the Amorites and the giants that were in Canaan and in the high walls of Jericho. They conquered them and defeated them. And God went before them and shook down the wall and put fear in their heart. Why? Because they were the blessed people. But when they got in there, and they had sin in their life. Now, all this is a purpose, and the reason he put it here, so it could be a blessing to us tonight, so when Brother Hibbard preaches to you, and you check upon yourself, and find out you might go out and go to work tomorrow without the full blessing of God upon your life, you want to get down on your knees and do something about it. In a few minutes' time, you can get it all straightened out with God and have the blessings restored again. But we find they went out, and they reported, said, it's just a little tiny handful. You don't need to worry about it. Said, we're able to more than, just take a few of our people, go out with the Ahis. And so he said, well, no. Said, let's just take a pretty big crowd here and send the army on out and conquer them. So, okay. So they took the army, went right on out to Ai, and when they got out there, they found they couldn't fight. They were all thumbs, so they turned and ran, and they began to slay them, began to kill them. And they ran for all it is worth. They came back disgraced. And they said, the Ai's slew us, and many of our men are killed. And Moses was excited. He said, well, something here is wrong. He said, God, what's the matter? Now, every last one of you, there's not a one of you sitting here, you've got some enemies. I don't know what those enemies are. It could be the devil. It could be demons. It could be someone on the job. It could be your mother-in-law. Your son-in-law. It could be some of your kinfolk. But there's 1,000 different things that could become your enemy. And could be an enemy to you. And so we find that they came back. Now listen to the true story. This was at the height of Israel's victory. They had just gone into Canaan, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat just the day before. Of all the people of the world feared them. They had the blessing in a cup. Brother, they didn't have to worry about anything. But you know what? They were openly defeated, and God was not with them. And their great big fighting men, their armored men and their men of war were not able to fight a battle, and this little handful of Ai's put them to flight. And Moses knew what God said. He said, if you'll abide under my blessing, one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight because of my blessing. But said, if you don't, you can't whip the enemy. But even a falling leaf will scare you, and you'll run when nobody's even chasing you. But when I'm with you and my blessing, you'll run and your enemy will flee, and no man can stand before you. You'll whip them. And God proved it every time. And so they got down before God, and God said, flip the coin. And we have a fleece. We'll have a way of finding out God's will. There's sin in the camp, and somebody's sinned, and I'm not going to give no victory over this because I gave strict orders what they must do when they come into this place. They must destroy all the emblems and the gods and all of everything that belonged to the enemy. They must have a bonfire and burn it up and get rid of it so they'll not be tempted to take up the ways of the people that were here before. Burn it up! This is God talking, said, do it. But Achan said, well, I'll go in the camp. He went in the camp and he took some Babylonian garments that were very beautiful and some wedges of gold that he found, and they were nice, and he thought, well, there's no use in destroying these pretty things. And he took these and hid them under his bed, dug a little hole there and put his mattress over it, and he'd lay down and smile, and nobody knew the difference. But there was a great big guy, and there was a great big God that had his eyeballs peeled on what was under his bed. And the blessing of God was withheld. Now, if one fails here, God's not going to lift the blessing from all the church. Back there, God blessed nations, and that was God's way of dealing. And God said to sin in the camp, and we're not going to win no battles in the camp until it's out of here. Now, how many believe by that God sees what goes on? And he said, bring it out. And finally, they begin to cast the lot, and it fell on Achan's family. Then finally it came on down and fell on Achan. Moses didn't say, well, Achan, did you do it? No, he said, Achan, why did you do it? What have you done? He said, well, I've got it in here in my tent. Brother, God run it down. Now the FBI misses sometime, but God never does. And so when he brought it out and presented him before God, they took it and burned it. And they carried Achan and his family out and all that belonged to him, everything pertained to him, carried him out and stoned him to death. And then the blessing of God returned to Israel. Then they could send out a little handful. Nobody ever whipped them under that age or the judges that followed down in David's time. Every time there come a time that God needed to step on the scene, God, and Israel was serving God, nobody could whip them. But when they failed, he said, "You'll be at the tail." Now he said, here's the way the world know whether you're serving me or not. When you're at the head, that's when you're serving me. But you'll never be in the middle. When you leave the head, you'll be at the tail. You'll be at the tail. And he went on to say, I'm going to bring, there'll be sicknesses come upon you. There'll be fears come upon you. There'll be consumption come upon you. There'll be a failing of this and that. And he went on to tell of many things. He said, your cattle will begin to die. Your fruit will not come to full bloom. And you'll have crop failures. He said, your young men will waste away. You'll make your money and you'll put it in your pocket. And I'll cut the bottom of your pocket out, and all of your money will just waste away. You will put it in pockets with holes in them, and you'll never get any good out of it. But when you're serving me, you will never borrow, but you will loan to people. And when you don't serve me, you will borrow, and you'll not be able to gain. How many ever read those words, and you know it's true? Let me see your hand. All right. Now, the blessing of God is not a new thing. The blessing of God rests upon Abraham. He said, Abraham, I've blessed you. I've made you a blessing. Now, he said, I'll tell you the way this works. He said, I'll bless everybody that blesses you. Said, it's kind of catching. He said, if the next door neighbor comes over and blesses Abraham, he said, I will bless that neighbor. And anybody that blesses you, my blessings will come to them if they'll bless you. But if any man will curse you, I will pronounce my curse upon him. I will become the enemy of anybody that becomes your enemy. God said it to Abraham. Abraham understood it. And God stood with Abraham all through his life. And he said, now, Abraham, you're able to not only that, but bless your sons. He pronounced blessings upon his sons, and his blessings came to pass 100%. He had the power to do it. Jacob came along, and he had 12 sons, and God blessed Jacob. And there's nobody on earth can say that the blessing of God wasn't upon Jacob. When he worked for Laban for a number of years, every time he'd go to quit, the boss would say, Laban would say, Jacob, don't you leave, I'll raise your wages. Finally, after a number of years, he said, why do you always raise my wages and you won't let me go? He said, man, you don't know how it was before you got here. Since you've come here to be my partner, I have found out that God blesses me because of you. Why? Because God's blessings was upon Jacob, and he blessed him. And so we find when he got ready to die, he pronounced a special blessing, and each one was diverse from the other on all 12 of his sons. Every blessing that he pronounced upon each son came to pass exactly as he said it would. Through the years, it's proved that he didn't miss one of them. If the devil out of hell can take a witch sold out to the devil, and the devil can give that witch power that God has to give to the devil, because the devil don't have no power in himself. All the power the devil has, God gave it to him. You understand that? But how many believe there is a power of the devil? And how many believe there is witches? And those witches have power with the devil. And those witches have power to put spells on people by the hundreds of thousands. And in all heathen places, and it's getting to where it's coming to our country, in all heathen places, there is one thing they fearfully dread, like a rattlesnake, they dread the curse of the witch doctors or the witches. Because they can put a spell on you and nobody can help you. You waste away and you just start dying and there's nothing you can do. They'll also say now, I want that person to have leprosy. And it's known that they have that special power from the devil. And leprosy would come on that person maybe the next day. And there's nothing they could do to take it off. Unless the witch doctor come and went through his seances and everything else. And they persuaded him to recant and to take back the curse that was upon him. Hundreds of thousands have died under witchcraft. Right out at Grapevine here, a few miles, there was a witch lived out there next to Brother Powers. The old dad Powers, not Clarence, but that was Clarence's daddy. Out there at the Grapevine. And they had horses that would jump over the fence and get into the great big corn. And had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems with them. And so this witch down there knew that Brother Powers was a Christian and didn't believe in anything she is doing. And so these horses would constantly come over, break the fence down, get in, and ruin his crop, his corn. She came by it. He was sitting on the porch. And she said to him, "Mr. Powers," talk kind of funny, look like a witch and talk like one. Said, "Mr. Powers, you don't think I got power, do you?" Said, "No, don't answer that." Said, "I know you don't." That's exactly what she said. But said, "I want you to let you know that this little lady knows what I'm doing, what I'm talking about. Now, you're having trouble with your corn and all your horses getting in and eating it up in the neighborhood, and you can't keep them out." Said, "Let me show you what I can do. You see my stick? Show you what I can do. I'm going out there and I'm going to just drag my stick around your corn. I want you to call me up if one of them ever crosses it." He laughed at her and he said, "Oh, you don't have any confidence in anything." He said, "Go on about your business." She said, "But Mr. Powers, just watch me." She went out and took a stick and she just went around that corn field. And he said that afternoon, he hadn't had time to fix it. There was some little holes there and a couple of the horses jumped over. And about that time, there's about 8 or 10 of them. Here they come, just jumping over and headed right for his corn in almost a trot. And Brother Powers talked to me and he said, "Brother Hibbard, before God, they came up to where that woman pulled that stick across and they threw their feet out like this. And brother, you talk about stopping. Every one of them stopped right there and they look over at that green corn and they'd look at each other. And they'd just gaze at it, and one by one turned around and jumped back over the fence. Every now and then there'd be some strange horses come in, they'd jump over and just run till they come to that certain place and stop. You say, what was it? It was the same kind of power that when Moses carried God's power in his rod down to Egypt, there was magicians there that had the devil's power. And when they threw their stick down on the ground, that stick turned into a live snake wiggling on the ground. Not only that, but when he stretched out his hand to perform miracles of various other miracles, they performed the same miracle for several different times. They mimicked him and did the same thing with the devil's power. Now, with that power that can drag across the ground and have power enough to keep horses out, that is the demon power that comes upon people. And brother, if the devil can have power to place upon human beings, how much more can the God of the universe, if we believe him, receive the blessing of God? God said to Abraham, he said, "Everybody that'll bless you, I'll bless them. And everybody that curses you, I'll curse them." And he said, "I'll bless you and multiply all of your activities." And it says that God blessed Abraham that he was rich in houses and in servants and in sheep, cattle, and he had an army. And when his nephew Lot was taken by a great king and all of their enemies had come in and taken him, Abraham took his army and went down there and rescued everything, including his nephew Lot, and brought all of them back. Why? Because he had the power to do it. God is with him. Now, I find in the New Testament not only one, but more than one place where it says Jesus Christ died that the blessings of Abraham might come on us. Brother, it's not altered one bit in the world. How does the blessing of God come on J.C. Hibbard? And what blessing is it? It is the blessing of God that came from heaven upon Abraham, and it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. We find several other places where it says that we are the children of Abraham, and we're children by faith, and that the blessings of Abraham comes on us. More than one place it mentions it, but I'm just reading this as a text. But when I came to Jesus Christ and I was born again, automatically through that, every one of God's born again children that are abiding in Jesus Christ, you are abiding under a blessing, and as people blesses you, God will bless them. Else, God would say, I happen to tell a false, because I said the blessing that I put on Abraham would come on you, but it's not quite that way. It is quite that way, and that's exactly what we have upon us. How many believe God would protect Abraham, and he did protect him divinely? I could show you where there's five times that there's no way on earth I could have lived had I not been under the divine protection of God. I would have been killed, but because I was under God's divine protection, I was miraculously saved because God had his hand on me. Now, I want to show you just one little thing here real quickly. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many believe you got it made? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee. How many believe that's a privilege of many times we get in places that we need to be delivered, and God comes on the scene and delivers us. He will deliver us from the snare and the fowler. The snare is the hidden trap. God will take care of it. And the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy hand, but they will not come nigh thee. 1,000 will fall here and 10,000 here, but it won't hit you. Now, if that's not worth paying a price to get that protection, how many believe God said it? You'll back it up. Say amen. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the reward of the wicked around you. Because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the Most High God thy habitation. He dwells with you. Therefore, no evil shall befall thee. Abiding under my blessing, no evil shall befall thee. How many believe that we're in God's hands? He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. How many believe he didn't mean it? When he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you, he was talking about those that had the right to claim the blessing of God. You know, when the rapture takes place and the resurrection, the first resurrection takes place, you know who's coming up? not everybody that just goes through this life. Most everybody's going to live, come up the great white throne judgment. The only ones that come up in that first resurrection are the blessed and holy. He said two kinds. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. When he comes to judge the nations, he says the very first thing, come thou blessed and get over here and inherit the kingdom that God prepared for you. He will turn to the other crowd and said there's only two crowds, the blessed crowd and the cursed crowd. And he'll say to the other crowd, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. Brother, it's going to pay after you leave this life. It's going to pay to carry the blessing of God with you. Can you say amen? It says here, there will no evil befall thee, and neither shall the plague that comes through the land. Everybody's affected by it. Neither shall the plague come nigh thy dwelling. How many believe the same God of Israel that told Israel what had happened to him and what would not happen? He said, none of these diseases will come upon you if you'll walk before me. And any time anything happens, I will deliver you and I'll loose you and set you free. The privilege you have. What else? For he will give his angels charge concerning thee. And they shall keep thee in half of thy ways. He's going to give his angels charge over thee. Now, you'll say, well, Brother Hibbard, do you mean that God sends angels down? Well, you read the Bible there in Hebrews. What did God say the angels are for? He said the angels of God, are not they ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister unto those that are heirs of salvation? If they're born again, if they're in the kingdom of God, if they're in Christ, these angels are ministering spirits. Sometime you need 50. Sometime you need one. Sometime you need four. But they go before you. They keep you from danger. They will keep thee in all thy ways. God said it. And brother, God proved it many, many times. One of God's men got in trouble back there. And there was a whole big army coming to get him. And the servant said to him, Master, Master, aren't you scared to death? They're coming to get you. And that's who they're coming to, because they heard that you tattle, that God tells you about things and you go to the king of Israel and tell it. And they've sent a whole army to get you. He said, no, son, I'm not bothered. He said, because you don't see what I see. He said, Lord, would you mind just please opening this guy's eyes so he can see what I see? And God opened his eyes. And when he did, he said, alas, alas, master, the hills, the mountains, they're filled with the angels of God and the chariots of God. Multiplied thousands of them. And so what happened? The whole army came upon him. And they said, you know where Elisha is? He said, yeah. You want him? Yes, sir, we're looking for him. I'm the captain. I've got my big army to come get him. Well, said I am he, but I'll tell you what, there's something wrong with all of your eyes. You can't see. And everyone, the whole army, every one of them turned blind, stone blind. Why? Because God's blessing is upon him. And the angel that had the power to say to Zachariah, Zachariah, you'll never talk no more because you didn't believe what God's angel said. And he was dumb. He couldn't speak. He was dumb. He couldn't speak. And when he obeyed God at the end of the period, his voice came again. God's angels have power to push back all the powers of the enemy. They have power to put curses upon people and to see to it that they're pushed back. And so finally, he went ahead and fed them, had a good feed and all, and got through. He said, now, boys, who is that you're looking for? Elisha's one was looking for, but we'd be glad to get out of this mess we're in. Well, he said, the one's fed you, I'm the one, and I'm going to have a little prayer here and see if we can get you to seeing again. So he said, now, Lord, would you please open their eyes? And God had a mass healing, and hundreds of thousands of those soldiers, all their eyes came open. He'd have had a hard time doing that if God's angels hadn't arrived on the scene. Jesus said, if I got in trouble here and I needed help, more than 12 legions of angels would come. Nobody would see them, but they would come to my rescue, to rescue me. And when Jesus got through sweating great drops as of blood in the garden, it said when he got through, the angel of God came and strengthened him. Am I right? When Satan tempted Christ, and after the temptation is over, it said the angels of God came and strengthened Jesus. It was God's will for him to go through the temptation. What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying to you tonight that God has set before every Christian a blessing and a curse. And if we, and what is the secret? If I had time, but I'll cut it off here. It goes on to say, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'm going to deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. And he'll pray. And when he calls upon me, I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him when he gets in trouble. He didn't say when they would get in trouble. But he said, if my blessings is resting upon you, any trouble you get in, I will be with you in trouble. And I will deliver you from the trouble. And I, with long life, will I satisfy you. Brother, that's a wonderful thing. It doesn't come to just anybody. It comes to one. And he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And God's divine blessings come from heaven upon individuals that don't jump in and get a little experience. And about the time a trial comes, a test comes, and we get money rolling out our fingers, we drift on back and lose our love and get cold, lukewarm, and indifferent. You're not abiding. He didn't say my blessings is going to rest on you whether or not. He said he that dwelleth. Brother, when you enter into the secret place of God, morning, noon, and night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you keep the victory, you pray, and you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'm through. I wouldn't trade $100 billion for the blessing of God that I know is on my life. And there's not a man, a woman, or a young boy, a girl can enjoy it. When my companion left me with three children, I was desperate. Young man, 27 years old. I realized the dangers of missing God, and I knelt. I'm saying, brother, God's divine blessings, it fills every vacancy of your life. You have utterly failed, young people, when you go through life without God's blessing upon your life. I said to God on bended knees, Father, there's too many pitfalls, tragedies, for me to try to pick the right one. I want you to send wherever she is. I need a companion. I want you to send a companion to me. I got up off of my knees. I was in the church on Sunday morning. I was having Sunday school. I walked around the corner to a room of young ladies. Nobody in there but young ladies. Sister Hickman, member of the church, she comes here all the time. She was the Sunday school teacher in that class. And I walked there, and I was just going to make a trip and go into several classes and just speak to them. And when I opened up the door, there was a message coming straight from heaven. And I heard the lady, as they brought the message from, through tongues, and I, in respect, I didn't enter in. I just held the door, cracked. And the moment that the message was over, in tongues, the interpretation came. And it said, "My son, I have heard your prayer. And I, as you have been thoughtful of my work, I will be thoughtful of you. I will bring the one in your life that I would have you to have. I will give you wisdom to know when she comes. And I will direct you." And I admire how the words went. "You looking to me for guidance, for in all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths. I have heard your prayer, and I will direct it." That morning, about 11 o'clock, there was a young lady preaching in the pulpit. They had asked her to preach because I was on a deer hunt. I came in a little early, so I said, "Go ahead and let her preach." I was sitting over about like this, and she is in the pulpit. I wouldn't have known her if I'd have met her on the street. I'd never had any conversation with her, and just at a distance. And she was preaching in the pulpit. And God said to me, said, "Son, how would you like for me to give her to you as a wife?" I said, "Well, Lord, far as I know, she'd be ideal." He's talking about Ms. Connor. My wife now, Nell Hibbard, was Nell Connor at that time. She was an evangelist. But I said to God, I said, "God, she is a missionary to India, and we are taking up a collection and have already taken up, the ladies have made quilts and everything. You see, I'm talking about the blessing when it rests upon you. And she is a missionary. How could I have her as a wife?" He said, "What did I tell you a year ago?" I didn't know anything about her. A year ago, they had a convention, and I was at the convention. And they said, "There's a Ms. Connor here that's got a call to India. And she's going to India." And I was sitting over here on the seat, side seat. I'd never seen her before, didn't know anything about her, and didn't even recognize them enough to know her after I got out of service. But the Lord spoke to me and said, "Ms. Connor's not going to India. It's a test of her consecration." And I thought, "Well, I wish you'd tell her that. I don't know why you'd be telling me that." And so a whole year passed by. And even when she came and they was taking up an offering, I'd kind of pushed it aside, thought, "Oh, well, the Lord told me she wasn't going, but I guess she'll find it out." And that very morning, she came back that night. We invited her back to preach. And that night, she went out real quick, set in the car. And I went out there to ask her about where to get some flannel illustration for the children. And when I went out there, she said, "Brother Abraham, I'm glad you came out here. I want to say something to you." And I said, "Okay." I was glad to talk to her. And so I sat down, and she said, "You know, I know you're a man of faith, got faith. I've got to tell you something. I've got a problem. I've been planning for 3 years to go to India, but I've been very unsettled the last few months, and I went into my room." Sister Kimberly is here tonight. That's her sister. And she went into her bedroom that she was living with Sister Kimberly at that time. And she fasted for a couple of days. She said, "I'm going to fast and pray till it's settled. You're going to tell me go full swing, or you're going to tell me why I'm upset." And God spoke to her and said, "Daughter, this call was only a test of your consecration. You will not go to India, and you must now adjust to stay here." She knew she had to go back and tell all of them that it was a test of her consecration, but the great God that was not obligated to do that for everybody, but one that had the blessing upon him and trusted him, he told me the year before, "She will not go. She didn't mean anything to me." But God knew that I needed to know a year before that he knew she wasn't going. So if I sprang the thing and he hadn't said anything, she'd said, "Oh, yeah, I'll marry you." Then I'd always said, "Yeah, she just flipped her call to India to marry me."
But she wasn't so anxious anyway. I had to do a little work on that. But what am I saying? I didn't intend to go on up, but that's taking a little time. But let me say this right here. That one thing that I'm telling you there, I can stand here and tell you a thousand things that God has done, and he will not do it for one, that he will not another. He spoke as loud as I'm speaking now almost to me, not audibly, but spiritually. He said, son, whatever you take by faith, I'll give it to you. I heard him say it. And since that time, I have never taken anything by faith but what he gave it to me. And I was said, oh, God, how great. Come to find out later, he said that to everybody, that the blessings of God's own. Every one of you can have it. We live far short of all the blessings because we're failing to abide. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to close this service a little different. If you have drifted the least bit, and you're not absolutely sure 100% that blessing of God is abiding, and brother, your policy is in full paid up. It's active. You haven't let it run out. Because he said to Malachi, I said, I have blessed you. But he said, I'm going to tell you, it's not there now. I have reversed it, and I have cursed thy blessing. How many ever read that in Malachi? Let me see your hand. He said it to his own people. And may I say tonight, how many appreciate the blessing of God? Let me see your hand. I'm going to ask everyone that appreciates it, I'm going to ask you to come tonight and renew your dedication to him. And if there's anybody in this building that has drifted away from that abiding, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High, if you have not abode, but you have drifted out of it, you know what the secret place is? In Christ. How many believe it? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you know God is obligated to take care of you financially, to feed you, to take care of your health, and to take care of your enemies, and to take care of any fear that you have? He said, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Brother, you can cash in on everything when you have a policy, brother. And that policy is to be opened up. You want the privileges of everything that policy said belongs to you. And how many are glad the blessings of God have come on us through Jesus Christ? I want us all to stand to our feet. I'd like for us tonight to do this one thing. Now, above all, if there's one person here tonight that you do not know 100%, that you're in the place that all those blessings are resting upon you. I know the devil will try to hound you and say you're not good enough. None of us are good. Christ become a curse for us. We can come. It's a free gift. But the privileges of having God to go before us. He said, I'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. I want people throughout all this balcony, I'd like for the ones down below to come to the front tonight. And I want you to check and say, Lord, I want to be sure that there's not one thing standing in the way of the blessing of God. Let God know that you appreciate that blessing of God. And how many believe if that blessing of God continues to rest there, we're going to put God before everything else. We're going to put God before everything else. We're going to sing a chorus, and I want you to start moving forward to the front here. And I'm going to pray with you. I feel impressed of God to pray tonight that any person in this building, that if you need that blessing renewed upon your life, that God's going to do something about it tonight. I want you to come all over the building, anywhere you are. What are you singing? Let's sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way, for thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Just mold me and make me after thy will. I want the young people to come tonight. I want teenagers to come. I want you to let God know how you deeply appreciate the blessing of God.